We continue to talk about the book, How to Change Your Life. And when Judy planned the schedule for this year, she did a brilliant job because she alternated two things. The first part of the book covers the basic ideas of science of mind. And the third part of the book covers a summary of important science of mind principles. And what Judy did was alternate the first and the third parts of the book. So we talk about the basic ideas, and then we talk about the principles, and we talk about the basic ideas, and then we talk about the principles. And I just feel so blessed because it just happens that I'm talking about only three paragraphs of the principles, which seemed a little slim. So I backed up two pages to the summary of important science of mind principles that are listed in this book. And in fact, this whole page is what used to be published every time in the Science of Mind magazine under the title, What We Believe. And I handed that out to everybody because it's not published every time anymore. And I think it's extraordinary. And the second half of it strikes me as so extraordinary that I used to have it read every time, every week at our Evensong service. So let me read you that part, the second half, if you want to read along with me. We believe in the unity of all life and that the highest God and the innermost God is one God. We believe that God is personal to all who feel this indwelling presence. We believe in the direct revelation of truth through the intuitive and spiritual nature of the individual, and that any person may become a revealer of truth who lives in close contact with the indwelling God. We believe that the universal spirit, which is God, operates through a universal mind, which is the law of God, and we are surrounded by this creative medium, which receives the direct impacts of our thought and act upon it. We believe in the healing of sick through the power of this mind. We believe in the control of conditions through the power of this mind. We believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of life to all. We believe in our own soul, our own spirit, and our own destiny. For we understand that the life of all is God. It still makes me cry because I believe it. I so believe it. And it's different from what I was taught. Now, there are a couple of people in this room I know, Felicia and Lavanya, who were not taught what I was taught when they were young. They were taught expansive thoughts when they were young. But most of us in our society were not taught that. Most of us were taught a more limited view of who we are and what life is. And so I had a chance this morning, as I thought about doing this talk, to review a little bit about what I was taught when I was young. And I will start out by quoting the Science of Mind textbook. Here is my ragged copy. Well loved. Ernest Holmes said, "Our belief sets the limit to our demonstration of a principle which of itself is without limit. It is ready to fill everything because it is infinite. So it's not a question of its willingness nor of its ability. It's entirely a question of our own receptivity." And that's something that I talked about in my opening prayer, where I said, the door to the infinite opens inward. We open to receive that infinite spirit. We control that door. But we have to know that it's there to open it. And we have to be willing to receive. So let me just go back to my Sunday school days when I was a kid. And my experience of crying myself to sleep at night because my father was going to go to hell because he didn't go to church on Sunday. And that was a mortal sin that would send you to hell. And feeling desolate about love and God and my family, that there was nothing I could do to change this damnation of my beloved father. That was one of the first things that made me think that something was off in what I was being taught. Then I started having nightmares from doing the Stations of the Cross. Lots of violent images that stuck in my mind. And when I was 15, I found out that my father had a previous family before he married my mother, that his children had been told he was dead, although he paid child support until they were 21 years old. And that, as far as the church was concerned, my parents weren't married, that I was illegitimate in the face of the church. And I knew my parents loved each other, and that I had a loving family, and none of this made any sense to me. And I thought, if this is what God is, I want no part of it. And so I mentally left the church when I was 15. I didn't physically get to leave the church until I went away to college because I was required to go to church by my mother, who thought I would go to hell if I didn't go to church. Even though she wasn't able to receive the sacraments because she was excommunicated for marrying someone who was divorced, she still wanted us to be raised in that environment. And I just couldn't believe in that God. That my whole being rebelled against that possibility. And I was an agnostic and an atheist for 20 years. And I was extremely depressed because life really didn't have a broader meaning that I could find. And it was terrifying to me that there was nothing to believe in. I wanted something to believe in. The Science of Mind textbook says, how much can we believe? As much as we can believe will be done unto us. And what was done unto me in those days were what I believed, that life was hard and I was guilty. And I attracted an abusive marriage and a husband who told me he'd kill me if I ever left him. And I finally realized I'd rather die than continue to live like that. And I left. Now, he didn't kill me, obviously. I'm still here. But it took courage to liberate myself from that experience. And the day after I left my husband and had him served with divorce papers at his office while I was moving out of the house, I went to a support group at Kaiser Permanente, and a divorce support group, day one of being in the process of divorce. And I met a woman named Marcia Cohen. And Marcia Cohen decided she was going to be my best friend, whether I wanted her to be or not. And basically kind of took over my life, and I was reeling, so it was good for me to have someone who had a positive idea about what she wanted to take over my life. And Marcia wanted to find a church. And so on Sundays, Marcia would drive all the way across town and pick me up and take me to a different church. And we went to bunches of different churches, maybe five or six. And then Marcia Cohen took me to a study group that was studying Louise Hay. And I walked into that place and I heard these words from Louise Hay. Deep at the center of my being, there is an infinite well of love. I now allow this love to flow to the surface. It fills my body, my mind, my spirit, my consciousness, my very being, and radiates out from me in all directions and returns to me multiplied. I love myself, therefore I love totally in the now. Experience each moment as good, and knowing that my future is bright and joyous and secure. For I am a beloved child of the universe, and the universe lovingly takes care of me now and forevermore. Louise Hay. I was blown away. I had never heard words like that anywhere in my life. And the truth of that just made my soul sing. And the relief of that took over my entire life. We were studying this book, also very loved, but my third copy of this book, not as well bound as Science Mind textbook, You Can Heal Your Life. You Can Heal Your Life. That was, what year was that? 1985. It had just been published the year before. And I was in this place hearing these words, feeling swept away. Because suddenly, a door opened for me that had been closed my whole life. A door of possibility. Of something that made sense to me that I could believe. And in addition to that, from Louise Hay, there was a song they played called You Are Light by Charlie Thwait. These are the words. There's a singing in your heart and a light that shines in all that you are bringing through. See it glow, let it lead you on your way. And the love you feel within is the love without which you know you would not be you. Watch it grow and remind you you're the way. Because you are light, yes you are. And that's the real you. You are light, yes you are. And that's the deepest truth. There's a rising in the tide, and it's a rising that will never drop away again, leaving you with the truth of who you are. Let it filter through your mind, cleaning out the darkened thoughts that you are letting in. That wasn't you, and it's time you leave the dark. You are light, which many of you know is my license plate. You are L-I-G-H-T, because when I asked myself what message had spoken to me most powerfully in my life, that was it. You are light. That's the deepest truth. Let it shine. Because that is the love that you are. the love without which you would not be you. It's the essence of your being. It is the most important thing there is. Abraham Hicks said, "As you are in your physical body with source flowing to you and through you, you are continuing your eternal life. And even when you don't know it, even when you feel bad, even when it feels like things aren't going well, source energy is still flowing to you as unconditional love. The source energy that creates worlds is flowing to you and through you. We are that. We are." When I give a talk, everything comes together perfectly. And I need to pay attention to what shows up in my life. And a month ago, I went to a meeting of a group that meets in Sterling a couple of times a month. And honestly, the first meeting I went to was a lecture about non-duality from a mathematician. And he might as well have been speaking Hungarian. It went like right over my head. I had no idea what he was talking about, and it didn't speak to me at all. But there was something within me that said, go back. And so on Monday, I went back. And I was blown away by the experience because they were showing a movie. I want to get it right. It was called, somewhere here it is. That's not it. This is it. It was called All Is Self. All Is Self. And in that movie, they traveled around the world and they talked to philosophers from various traditions around the world, indigenous cultures, from the Lakota and the Toltecs and Vedanta and Tao, and others, and quantum physics people who spoke a little more English. And it was all about oneness and connectivity. And it was powerful. They talked about things I talk about in here. They talked about the both and rather than the either or universe. And for me, that means we are both local and non-local, physical and non-physical, infinite and finite, eternal and temporal. We are always both. It is not you live and then you die and then you're eternal. No, you're eternal now. You have access to the infinite now. And this wonderful movie just made my heart sing. One person after another were speaking different words from different traditions that mean oneness and life and connection and why we are connected. And one thing they said that really was talking about quantum physics and lights coming as waves or particles, and it's always both depending on how you look at it. It's the observer that determines whether it's matter or energy. And what he said, I can tell you his name, it's here somewhere. I'd heard of him before, he's a quantum physicist. And Amit Goswami. And he said, love comes when you have both. Because you have connectivity because we appear to be two. That one connects with one as one. It's not separate. It's connected. It's ever connected. And then he said something that just took my heart way, way out. He said, sometimes we look into the eyes of another and we are able to pay attention to the form, to that which is beyond form. I'm going to read it again because it really spoke to me. Sometimes we have an experience of looking at another where we are able to pay attention through the form to that which is beyond form. And Louise Hay taught that when she taught mirror work, looking into the mirror and seeing the eyes of Source in your own eyes. But what it reminded me of was something that happened to me once, and some of you have heard this story before, and I apologize for repeating myself, but it's worth repeating. I asked on Monday night if I could tell this story to this group of highly intellectual people. And I talked about being in Mexico and being on a bus. I was with David. And we got on this bus and we had a 45-minute ride to go swim with dolphins. And I got on the bus and I started hearing a song in my head. And the song was a song that I'd sung at retreats, looking into the eyes of people where I had paid attention through the form to that which is beyond form in them. And the words of the song are, "You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God." And I heard that song over and over in my head for the 45 minutes on the way to swim with dolphins. And when I got there, they heard us off the bus and into the room, and they put headphones on us and gave us a lecture through the headphones on how to treat the dolphins. And the song stopped. And I got into the pool, and there were six of us in my small group, and we were assigned two dolphins for our group of six. But actually, we had 3.5 dolphins, because we had a dolphin and her baby and a pregnant dolphin. And we had been instructed that you had to pet the dolphins, because if they came over and they flipped over on their back and they presented their belly, they wanted to be petted. And if you didn't pet them, they'd go find someone else. So you better pet. You were expected to pet, or you would be out of dolphin range. So this beautiful, beautiful dolphin, pregnant dolphin, came to me. And I stroked her belly and I heard the song. And I started to sing it to her. "You are the face of God." And in the moment I started to sing, she turned up and came eye to eye with me. Her one eye, because they only have eyes on either side of their head. Her one eye to my two eyes. And I stared into the eyes of the dolphin and I sang to her, "You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are my family. You are the face of God." That's the other line in that song. And I sang it through twice. And then I stopped and she turned over and wanted to be petted. And I had this extraordinary experience of paying attention through the form to that which is beyond form with a dolphin. I saw that infinite spirit through the dolphin, and I affirmed for her that I saw her and I felt her see me and I felt her connect with me. And it was extraordinary and I was blown away. But it got even better because I went home. I went back to the ship, actually. I was on a cruise, an Abraham cruise. And I meditated on that experience. And the first aha I got, that was also an aha of the heart, is that that song was what the dolphins were singing to me. and that I connected with them on the bus. And I heard the message of the dolphins all the way there. They were singing to me. And the way I interpreted the vibration, because that's what you do when you hear non-physical, you have to put the vibration into words. And the closest words I could come to the dolphin vibration was, "You are the face of God." And that's what the dolphins want us to know. We are the face of God. And we can see that in each other. We can see that in animals. We can see it in plants. We can see it in clouds. We can see it in life. We are the face of God. And the next day I meditated on it again, and I got the second message that just blew me away. Because the second message was that the gift that the dolphins gave to me was the opportunity to tell that story to other people. Because the vast majority of people will not sit still to listen to, "You are the face of God." But they want to hear stories about dolphins. And I could carry the message of the dolphins to other people. I hadn't made the connection before, but I am reminded of one time when one of my teachers said to me, "You make what you perceive to be a vertical connection with Source." It's not a vertical connection because Source is everywhere. But you perceive it as vertical, and that's fine. Because Source is vertical. Source is just all of the directions, any direction you choose, Source is there. But vertical works. You perceive it as vertical, but once you've made that vertical connection to Source, you have the opportunity to share it horizontally, heart to heart, with other people. The same was true of the dolphin. I made the horizontal connection to the dolphin. I also made the vertical connection to the dolphin because I got the message before I got there. Mm-hmm. I felt their vibration before I ever got there. And it was so beautiful what I was feeling, because all the way on the bus I was singing, "You are the face of God," to the horses and the dogs and the people and the taxi cabs and the airplanes and the palm trees that we drove by in the bus. And I was recognizing the beloved in everything I saw. And that's our job, is to see the love, to be the love, to share the love, to feel the love. That's what we're here to do. However we do it, each in our own unique way, the way we receive will be our own unique way. But I was so grateful for that opportunity on Monday night to be myself, to share my truth with a group of strangers, who, four of whom out of the 10 said, "That's a great story." I connected with the hearts of other people. Outside the choir I preach to on a regular basis. What an amazing experience. And because I followed my guidance to go back, even though my first experience wasn't as positive as I had hoped it would be. And I really look forward to going back, because not this coming month, when I'm going to be on the cruise anyway, but the month after that, they're going to talk about mysticism. And boy, do I have stuff to share about mysticism. I've been teaching and taking classes in the science of mind on mysticism for 32 years. It's like my favorite subject. So watch out. Because I want to hear what they have to say. I'm sure they have things to say just as this group did in telling me some things that really lit me up about oneness. I'm sure there are things they can tell me about mysticism that light me up. But maybe there are things I can share as an active mystic that it's okay to be a mystic, that we all have that. And if you go back to what we believe, Ernest Holmes said, "We believe that God is personal to all who feel this indwelling presence. We believe in the direct revelation of truth through the intuitive and spiritual nature of the individual, and that any person may become a revealer of truth who lives in close contact with the indwelling God. We are all designed to have connection. Every one of us has a different form of connection. And the more we honor the connection we have, more come." The most powerful quote that I got in my practitioner training from the Science of Mind textbook, 191.3, I looked it up. I still remember the number. We know that more light will be given as we use that which we have. We are here to honor the light we have been given, whatever it is. We can share it. We can write it down, even if we never share it. Beloved said, even if you never share a word of what I've said to you, you carry it with you. It is you. You radiate it from your being because it is you. You don't have to have people read about it in order to share the love. You are the love. And that love radiates out from you, and we are all that. The mystics are different from who we are. They are the example of who we are and the opportunity of who we are. And that's what this book, particularly this section of the book, speaks to me. It's the opportunity to live in close contact with that indwelling God and express it in the world. However we are inspired to do that, whether it's the inspiration to go to a meeting, or this morning it was the inspiration to tell the story of where I came from and what I used to believe, and how much that hurt, and how much of a relief it was to find a teaching that resonated with my heart. And I've been at it since I was 35 years old. So it's 33 years now. 33 years, that's the master number for the Christ consciousness. I hadn't realized that before. 11-22-33. 11 is self-mastery, 22 is master teacher, and 33 is Christ consciousness. And that's all of what I aspire to be, to live in the oneness and to share the oneness. And the gift you guys give me of listening to me tell these stories over and over again is that I get to remember them myself. I get to feel that, blown away by how extraordinary this teaching is. Whether you look at Louise Hay, who was a Science of Mind practitioner, who teaches Science of Mind, or Ernest Holmes in the Science of Mind textbook, or Abraham Hicks, who continues the teaching on a regular basis every week now, it's here, it's available to us, and it reminds us who we are. And that's the greatest gift we can receive, is to be reminded, oh yeah, cool, that's who I am. I can be that, I can live that, I can shine that light, because that's the truth of my being.
I am that. I am. I am that I am. I am that. I am. And we are that. We are. We always have been. We always will be, whether we recognize it in the moment or not. We are that. Exactly what Abraham said in that quote. How to live this. Abraham said, if you knew everything was really all right, and there will always be a happy ending, then you wouldn't feel trepidatious about your future. Everything is really so very right. If you could believe and trust that, then immediately everything would automatically and instantly become all right. What do we believe? That's my question for today. That was the question that came up for me in reading this chapter, all three paragraphs of it. Was like, okay, what do I believe? And to remember what my first minister of Science of Mind said to me, Reverend Mary Ann said, no one can tell you what's true for you except you. And Ernest Holmes said, we must always remain open at the top. There is always something newer and better. And do not close off the cosmology that you create for yourself. Leave it open and continue to incorporate the next beautiful thought and the next heart-opening experience, because there are always more ahas of the mind and ahas of the heart to expand us, to take us to a new vista, to give us the opportunity to explore a new field of experience. And honest to God, I could talk about this for the rest of the day, and we've run out of time. But the opportunity to expand is ever present. And we can see differently. As soon as we think differently, we can perceive the world anew every day. And there is always more to take in, more beauty, more love, more peace, more grace, more light, more health, more wealth, more well-being. Because it's ever flowing to us, and we can open to receive. And so I am willing to be open. And I am willing to believe this beautiful truth that I've been taught so exquisitely by so many amazing teachers. And continually be reminded that I am light, that I am love, that I am peace. And so are you. And so it is.